ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء وعلى اله واصحابه ومن والاه وبعد my brothers we are living in times when as in all times it is necessary to look at the seerah of nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and see what lessons we can learn from it which can be applied to our times we are living in times where hostility against Muslims which has always been there to some extent or the other today that hostility is not only increasing but it is also becoming official and it is also becoming acceptable to express this hostility publicly now in such a situation the question is what is it that we can learn from the seerah and there are many instances in the seerah inshallah bismillah taala if allah subhanahu wa taala gives the tawfiq we will talk about them one by one but one of the most important events of the seerah is the treaty of hudaybiyah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described and said inna fatahna laka fatham mubeena verily we have given to you O Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam today a great victory but if you look at the treaty itself and the words of the treaty they were hardly victorious those words were words which were really it was a treaty all right but it was also a treaty which was very one sided it was a treaty which was unfair It was a treaty where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the face of it accepted I can't say it's a directly subjugated role but there are elements in it which are elements of subjugation accepting of injustice against himself and against the Muslims so why is that considered to be a victory and why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call it a victory apart from the political aspects of it which is that for the first time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims were given an official status of being an entity to be negotiated with until then the Quraysh treated the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims as rebels as their own people who had run away and therefore they should be brought back and they should be punished certainly not people who deserved the recognition of anyone dealing with them I mean that was their until the time of Hudaybiyah that was the official position of the Quraysh but in Hudaybiyah the Quraysh actually sent people to negotiate and then eventually they signed a treaty so therefore that was definitely a positive sign that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was recognized as the head of a by then it was not a state as such but definitely a head of a legitimate community which needed to be negotiated with so that was the main thing but however the fatha that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions is really not related to the political aspects but to related to the internal aspects of the sahaba conquering their own desire and we have to I remind myself and you that in this case we are not talking about conquering any haram desire it was not as if they were trying to do something wrong the desire of the sahaba was to make umrah and that is why they came with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make umrah whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that they should not make umrah that they should sign this treaty sacrifice their animals and turn around and go back now that was obviously a very hard reality for them to face that was not something they liked that was not something they were even prepared to do but because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them to do it because he accepted this decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the sahaba accepted it It was a fatah over themselves. It was a fatah over their own nafs, over their own desires. And as I mentioned, it was a desire of ibadah, it was a desire to make umrah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, the hukum of the Nabi supersedes that. And the hukum of the Nabi comes from the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, when they accepted the decree and the ruling of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it fatah. Now, how much more important, therefore, is it for us to overcome our desires, which are for the most part, may Allah forgive us, if they are not haram, they are also not ibadah either. So they are desires which are pure, related only to ourselves. So if overcoming a desire for ibadah was so important, how much more important it is to overcome desires which are not ibadah, which are either purely pandering to the self, or in some cases maybe even something which is wrong. So therefore the fatah comes from that. Now the reason I'm saying that is because if you see it, Hudaybiyah was a treaty supposedly for 10 years, but within 2 years Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened Makkah for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the whole treaty with Hudaybiyah, even though it was for 10 years, they did not have to live through those 10 years. Within 2 years Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them Makkah. So the lesson for us is that when we do this, when we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and where we hold the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam over and above everything else, then victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. But it comes conditional upon this. The help of Allah comes conditional upon our holding the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and above, superseding everything else. And this has to be proved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. We have to do this, and the way to prove it is to bring about changes in our lives. So I remind myself and you to take stock. We are living in times of turmoil, we are living in times of great stress, we are living in times where it is difficult even to distinguish between friend and foe. We don't know who is a friend, we don't know who is an enemy. Those who seem to be or appear to be our friends sometimes turn out to be the worst enemies, because we have no defense against them because we think they are friends. Okay, but that's our reality. So therefore, to be able to live in this reality, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the reality of who is friend and who is foe. People can fool us, they can't fool their own Rabb and our Rabb. Therefore, it is very important for us to look at ourselves and say, what is it in my life which is amounts to the disobedience of Allah and to the disobedience of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to remove that from our lives. This bringing about this actual change in our lives is very critical for us to survive in these times and for us to get victory, inshallah. But at the same time, if we do this, if we bring about these changes, then inshallah the victory of Allah has to come, because that is the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will give it, and He will give it also provided enough people do it. So it's not only a matter for us to do it ourselves, but also to propagate this message forward, to say, all of us, let us make an intention that we will not disobey Allah, that we will look at our lives, we will bring about the changes in our lives which are towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, collectively as well as individually. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us and to help us with his help from the ghaib, and to protect us from our enemies. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعليه وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.